All right, tonight, entitled Pulling Down Strongholds, and something the Lord put on my heart, really a lot of people struggle with. There's some strongholds in our lives from time to time, I guess, and I don't know yours and you don't know mine maybe, but we all have strongholds, and the Bible's clear to us how we can defeat that, and really, as the Bible puts it, pulling down those strongholds, literally. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you will. 2 Corinthians 10, we've studied a little bit of this portion of Scripture before in another series or another lesson, and I wanted to come back to this and reiterate some of it. Notice again, verse number 1, we'll start 2 Corinthians 10, and he says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For, in verse number 4, for our the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God," and here it is, "to the pulling down of strongholds." And he says, verse 5, "casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, we'll pause there in our reading, but thinking about, Paul is speaking to this church. Now, remember, the church at Corinth was a church that was pretty messed up. They had a lot of issues. They had a lot of problems, and they had allowed in some false doctrine and other things. Paul came back and wrote to him and said, "Listen, this is where you're wrong. This is where you're right," and he says in these beginning verses, he says, "You know, when I'm with you, I'm not as forward as when I'm absent and I write you a letter." You know, I'm a little bit more aggressive in that and rebuking you. And like the statement I read recently, if Paul wrote our church a letter, what would it look like today? That's kind of scary to think about. And you think about that. But Paul is saying now, as believers, he says, all of us will have strongholds in our lives from time to time. And he says, we need to understand, number one, that our weapons in this warfare, we talked about that last week, remember, in Ephesians with putting on the armor of God. We're in a war, a battleground, not a playground. And he says, our weaponry, it's not carnal. It's not what I can do, but it's what? It's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, now look in your notes here, and let's look at this tonight of what is a stronghold, really, and I have here, as believers, our victory over sin, our peace, our joy, our happiness, and our effectiveness in reaching others for Christ all come from our being able to walk, or our ability to walk after the Spirit instead of walking after the flesh. Walking after the flesh comes naturally because it is that course we learned before we were saved and usually to some extent continue to learn and follow after we are saved. It is the course of this world, the Bible says. It is the patterns we learned that we believed would make us successful, significant, fulfilled, happy, and even secure. It is according to the prince of the power of the air who requires us to act independent of God and try to make our own way. Now, notice Ephesians chapter 2, but this is what the adversary did from the very beginning. What did he tell Adam and Eve, in particular Eve? What's he say? You're not allowed to eat that? She said, no. He said, well, why not? She said, she explained it to him. He says, well, you know, God doth know that at the day ye eat thereof, I shall be open, and ye shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. What was that? Trying to act independent of God. You don't need God. You can do it on your own, can't you? And that's what a lot of wealthy people say. They have everything they ever need. Again, and they say, well, you poor people, you peasants, you need God because he's your crutch. You know, you need to go to God because you can't pay your bills and you got all these problems. And a lot of people believe that. But Ephesians chapter 2, yeah, thank you. And you, notice, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, notice, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that's our lifestyle, in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do I have one more verse there or no? And that's it. Okay. But you think about what Paul is saying is, we acted independent of God. He says, in time past you did. Okay, continuing here, notice one of the reasons we continue to walk after the flesh, after we're saved is because of the strongholds that have been established in our minds. The word for stronghold comes from a word meaning literally to fortify through the idea of holding safely. A fortification, if you will. It's a stronghold. It is simple in simplicity, or it's simply a castle, fortress, or a fastness. If you drive around New Mexico, in fact, you can go to different forts. Have you been around to the forts? You know, Fort Sumner and whatever else there is. And they're forts. What were they for? Well, the soldiers would travel place to place. You know that, from fort to fort, and they'd arrive at a fort, and it was a stronghold. They were able to come in and get some rest and relaxation, and they could, you know, take their boots off, get water, feed the horses, everything else, without being fear of the Indians or whoever else to attack them. And that's what a fort is. That's what he's talking about. That's the stronghold we have. Continuing, it can be anything on which one relies to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. Now, in our text, strongholds refer to wrong thought patterns that were developed by our experiences and reactions to those experiences. These strongholds rely on our ability to reason and direct us to act independent of God rather than walk by faith. Again, faith is God's way to live, and reason is man's way to live. This is not to say that faith is unreasonable or that we are to ignore our responsibility to think. God requires us to think and to choose, but we must keep in mind that our ability to reason is very limited. Again, if you didn't think and had no reasoning, you would be in a cult. A cult tells you what to do, how to think, what to believe, where to go, how to dress. Oh, that's a cult. True biblical Christianity states that you believe, you use reasoning, you use thinking, you use logic. As someone preaches or teaches, you use logic. Okay, well, I don't know about that. You come back to the Word of God and you find out the truth. We'll get to that in a minute, but there are only two plans by which we can live. Again, we can walk after the flesh, which is our way. That's plan B. Or we can walk after the Spirit, which is God's way, we say is plan A. Our way follows our limited ability to reason. It has the devil giving advice, really. God's way is by faith in Him and His Word, with the Holy Spirit instructing and directing us, and notice, giving us His wisdom. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know it. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Okay, so first of all, again, we must recognize how strongholds are established. These are negative patterns of thoughts which are burned into our minds either through repetition over time or through one-time traumatic experiences. They are usually established as the result of a number of subtle steps which lead us away from God's plan and keep us following our own plan, as we already mentioned that. But if you were ever pushed off of a bridge or something, you might have a fear of heights, okay? Or something, if you were ever maybe thrown into a swimming pool and didn't know how to swim and you almost drowned to death, you have a fear of swimming or of water. Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying here. They were established at some point in your life. Notice a couple of these. Letter A, through the influence of an adverse environment that was apart from God, by brief exposures, maybe books, movies, music, traumatic events, again, illicit things we could add in there that really began to affect your mind, was taught how to cope and resolve conflicts your way. Someone never taught you how to cope or resolve conflicts, and so you had to come up with your own way. You know, we see this a lot with men that come back, and women too, from war or even military service. They have PTSD, and they're never taught how to cope with it or handle it, and they're given some superficial remedy, and even pills and other things are given, and it doesn't help. You think about that, there's some brief exposures, but number two, there's some long-term exposures. Family, friends, peers, neighborhood, teachers, just kind of your life, if you will. Letter B under that, developed a philosophy of survival and success without God. As I said, many people think that Christians use God and the Bible as a crutch, you know. Oh, you need that. You need that. I don't, they'll say. We developed a philosophy of survival without God. And one of the things that we despise the most about evolution and what they teach our kids in public school is that they teach them that we evolved and we figured things out on our own, basically. I mean, you come from what's called a primordial or a chemical soup, and you crawled your way up out of that soup and eventually evolved from some kind of amphibian to this and to that, to that and to this. And if you have no purpose in life and you came from nothing, what's the point in living? And if there is no afterlife, which they teach, It's called cessation of spirit or of being. If there's nothing else, then why do I live? What does it matter if I put a gun in my mouth? I mean, who cares? But if you have something to live for, and you were created by a God, and you will answer to that God, there's something to live for. Now, again, this is kind of rabbit trailing there a little bit. But letter B, by forming a habit of thinking and responding contrary to God's way. Now, notice an example that I found. Very interesting. Now, take the example of just three boys. Let's say they're 18, 13, and 9. The father is an alcoholic. He comes home drunk every night. He's mean. He attacks his boys. The oldest son is big enough to stand up to him and defend himself, and he does. The middle one can't physically resist, so he becomes an appeaser. He does every nice thing he can think of to try to make his dad not beat him or hurt him. The youngest son reacts in fear. He keeps out of sight until the danger is past and avoids the conflict by maybe running and hiding. This forms patterns of behavior. Now, fast forward maybe, say, 10 years or so. The oldest fights any opposition that comes his way. The middle tries to appease, and the younger one runs from any kind of conflict or problems. These patterns of thinking and responding have formed strongholds in their lives. Once a stronghold of thought and response is entrenched in your mind, your ability to choose and to act contrary to that pattern is very limited. It's very hard. So that leads us to the point two, is we need to identify the strongholds in our mind, and then we'll see in number three, how do we really defeat that or overcome or pull down those strongholds. So again, number two, identifying these strongholds. There's several that just listed here that I found. Hostility is a stronghold. You feel you must maybe fight or physically, verbally, all opposition, try to get out of it. You're now controlled by this thought pattern, if you will. Turn it over. We see that in America today. There's a lot of aggressiveness and hostility towards other people and a lot of things going on. In fact, if you study those that believe in our Muslim people, they believe in tremendous hostility. In fact, you know, if you've ever read any of the Quran or you've heard of it, one of the key things in there is to kill the infidel. Okay, that's anyone who is not a Muslim, by the way. Now, they try to refute that in public. They don't exactly bring that up, but their goal has, from the very beginning and onset of what they believe, Muhammad had this vision in a cave and an angel came and all these things happened. From that beginning forward, it's always been kill the infidel. If you don't believe what we believe, and by the way, they conquered most of the vast majority of the known world during that time with sword. They came through a town and said, you believe or else we'll cut your heads off. Some people said, we're not believing that. Killed them in front of everyone else. And then everyone else said, okay, yeah, we'll believe that if you want us to. That's how they conquered the world. Whereas Christianity was the opposite of that. You know that, right? And so anyways, I'm just saying that there is that hostility in some people's hearts to that extreme. We can come down to a little bit lower level like we, if you will, could be a stronghold in your life. Maybe notice the second one, letter B, inferiority could be a stronghold. Like the first son, oldest son, would be that of a hostility that he holds. The middle child here would be maybe more of an inferiority. You constantly shrink back from people because you feel maybe inferior. You're controlled by these feelings. The Bible speaks to the opposite of that. We're to be bold and have what's called confidence in Him or in Christ. We're not arrogant. We're not pompous in any way, but we're confident. One thing about a true child of God is we are not afraid. We don't fear death. People try to threaten Christians all the time. Oh, well, you know this, and what are we from? Jesus said, listen, don't fear Him who can kill you. Fear Him who can kill you and take your soul. That's God. That's God Almighty. Okay, that's who you fear. But if all you're going to do is kill me, we don't want to die, obviously, but all you can do is kill me, I don't fear that. I know where I'm going, right? I know that. So what the Bible speaks of the opposite, not inferiority, not superiority, but we have confidence. We have boldness. Many of the apostles talk about this word bold and boldness. Letter C, maybe manipulation is a stronghold. Again, these are just some of these things that are pointed out when we think of what people maybe have been held back with manipulation. You feel you must control the people and circumstances in your life. That would be more indicative of that youngest son. Youngest son ran and hid, and you know, as the storm passes over, okay, now I can handle that. And now as they maybe get older, they see it that they can control people and circumstances around them. This comes from insecurity or leads to micromanagement, you could call it. You find it nearly impossible to give a problem to God. You've developed a pattern which now controls you. I've talked to some people. One person comes to mind, and I said, you need to give it to God. Give it to God. You know, it's easy to say that, but people, it's hard to do. Give it to God. They said, I can't do that. I just can't. I don't know what that means. What do you mean? Just give it to God. It keeps me up at night. I can't sleep. I have all this anxiety. I can't get, and that's true, isn't it? I think all of us have been there. I said, give it to God. Give it to God. And gave him some verses to study and look at and read. And finally, the light bulb kind of came on, and I remember them contacting and saying, hey, I get what you mean now. Give it to God. Let God have it. So, but anyways, it's hard to do. Letter D, sexuality. It could be a stronghold. Again, I'll be careful what I say here tonight, but just a clarification, if you didn't know this, God did not create homosexuals, okay? Just clarifying. Some people have asked before, what did your church believe about same-sex marriage, homosexuals? We say, well, we're against it. Well, what's your reasoning behind it? Well, the Bible says, you know, I can give you a handful of chapters and verses to show you. Okay, God did not create that, but sexuality can be a stronghold. Both male and female, men and women, can develop what's called a hypersexual behavior because of adverse experiences. We don't need to go into all that, but you know that. I mean, there's some problems that happened when you were younger or something took place, and it could create something in you that would be a stronghold today that you can't control, can't get over. Man, one of the biggest problems that we're facing today in America, we have the highest rate of sexual crimes committed. You would think that might be in another country or something, but America has the highest rate of sexual-related crimes and all that goes with that. So we understand it. Number three, experiences causes them to doubt their sexual adequacy, and then they begin to believe the lie about their sexual identity, and that's what we see today. And, you know, again, if you are always being maybe called or bad-mouthed or labeled, oh, you're gay, or you're you know, whatever the case, some of those kids go up and say, okay, well, maybe I am gay. You know, maybe I am messed up. Maybe I don't know. And that's a breakdown of the home. You come all the way back. Our biggest problem in America, you could pinpoint it back. Daddy's not in the home. Breakdown of the home. When Satan broke down the home in the Garden of Eden, he won a battle, didn't he? He got a victory there. He broke it down. He divided Adam and Eve. For the first time, some people have asked, how long were they in the garden before this happened? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It could have been 100 years. It could have been 50 years. Could have been 20 years. We don't know. But they were together. They were close. They were one, remember? And then for the first time, Satan comes and does all of that. And what happens? The Lord comes in the evening of the cool of the evening and says, where are you guys at? Oh, we're over here hiding with some, you know, some fig leaves over here. Who told you were naked? Woman, well, the serpent said. Well, what'd you do, Adam? Well, the woman gave me. What was that? Divisiveness. They broke apart for the first time. And there's all kinds of problems. They were no longer a team. Now they were at each other, weren't they? They were against each other. Now, just talking about some of this, these could be some strongholds today, and especially that we see in America. And we'll get to some verses here in just a minute about that. But letter E under that, disorders of any kind, a disorder, if you will. A person stands in front of a mirror and believes every criticism about them. I think maybe we've all been there before. Where'd you get all that? Well, just from people in your life and how you were brought up and all kinds of things like that. Again, I have next to this a little rebuke to me, but parents should correct, not criticize. Correct, not criticize. Criticism always brings a bad self-esteem, if you will. Number two, you have developed negative thought patterns about yourself. Again, that stems back to where and how you were brought up. And all of this I'm saying is can be overcome, again, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what you do is you're transformed. We'll look at that in just a minute, but it's not reform. The world wants to reform you. Okay, let's change you. No, I need to be transformed. Would you take out this and put in a new heart? I need a whole new personality. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you a whole new persona, if you will, whatever the case is. Okay, disorders could be, develop negative thoughts. Person is controlled by this false reality, truly. They believe what has been said about them. They believe what they've been told, all of these things like that. Okay, any reflex response which directs your thinking away from God's way is a stronghold. That's a clear, underline that, because that's, how do I know it's a stronghold? Is it directing you away from God's way? Is it bringing you closer to God? When you have a reflex response, you know, we call it a knee-jerk reaction kind of. Is that day taking you away from God or closer to Him? Okay? Any negative thoughts and actions you cannot control spring from a stronghold. Somewhere in the past, you consciously or unconsciously formed a pattern of thinking and behaving or behavior which now controls you in that particular area. I was just sitting this morning. And do you ever have those makeup scenarios in your mind? Not even true. It's just some scenario. Oh, and then I said, well, if that ever happens, I'm going to. And I would, you know, and it was not spiritual. So it's pushing me away from God's way. What is it? That's a stronghold. Okay, so then that leads us to our third point here. How do we pull them down? Let's pull down the stronghold. Strongholds, are the result of conditioning of the mind, and we can be reconditioned by the renewing of our minds. By the way, here's the thing. If your mind is always filled with nonsense, foolishness, entertainment, divisiveness, I mean, even if you are a consistent news watcher, you like the news. What's wrong with the news? Nothing wrong with that. But a lot of it will feed you negative things. It's all the nightly news is not, hey, look at this and look at positive. It's all negative, 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 negative. And they always, have you noticed, end it with some little short little positive story. Some kid in Alabama sold 56 candy bars and it's like, what? That means nothing, right? You fill your mind, again, I'm just talking to myself for a minute, but just filling your mind with all this stuff. And then you would go, well, I wonder why. Man, I wonder why it's so hard for me to read the Bible. I wonder why it's so hard to get up and go to church or be spiritual. I just don't know why. Now we have to understand. We have to have our minds renewed. Anything that has been learned can be unlearned. I like that. We are no more defeated by this. It has no more control over me. And by the way, you claim the name of Christ when that is pushed against you. Oh, you can never change. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Okay, so literally realize that you cannot win by your own strength or in your own strength. Okay, back in our text, notice again, verse number 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, you have to live here, you're walking in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. We don't do that. There's some belief way back in the Middle Ages that they disdained the whole idea of the flesh. And these monks and others that were super spiritual would actually hurt themselves and inflict themselves just to remind them the flesh is wicked and bad. You see these people today in the Philippines, especially, they'll walk down the road. Have you seen it carrying the cross? And they whip themselves on the back. I mean, by the end of it, their back is completely destroyed. And what are they doing? Oh, they're showing God how sorry they are for their sins. You don't got to do that. Praise God. So we understand we got to live in the flesh. He continues, we don't war after the flesh, though. That's not where you go because our weapons aren't there. Okay, so we realize we can't win in our own strength. Many people throughout Scripture prove this. David proved this. You read through the Psalms and you read it. And you see David repeatedly talking about that. Oh, Lord, help me, guide me. Establish us. Joshua came into the promised land and did the same. What did he say? Oh, Lord, help us and guide us. In fact, the angel of the Lord stood off to the side and he got a glimmer of his sword. It kind of caught the light and it got his attention. And he looked over and went over to the guy and he said, hey, you for us or against us? And the man, he said, neither or nay. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Doesn't even answer Joshua. I like that. Joshua didn't even deserve an answer. He said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Meaning, my presence is enough for you to go forward. I want an answer, God. We often ask. He says, no, you just need my presence. Now keep going. Keep pressing on the upward way. Joshua, Hezekiah, you read about Hezekiah recently. You read about Josiah recently. Josiah had one of the most wicked fathers, and yet he came and became one of the most prosperous, righteous kings to ever live. Paul talks in Timothy, talks to Timothy, tells him to keep on going, keep pressing on. You don't fight these battles in your own strength. Letter B, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice Romans 12:2 if you have that. Oh, thank you. He says again, we know these very well, but he says, be not conformed to this world. But then he says, but be transformed. Now the Bible's easy to memorize because it has words like that. Conform, transform. The word, the prefix C-O-N means with. So don't be with, formed with the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So again, we need the renewing of our mind. You know what the word renew means. It means make new again. You need that. The only thing that can do that is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can do that is the Word of God. The only thing that can do that is the gospel. That's why we share the gospel. Now, prescription pills help, but they're temporary. Pornography helps, but it's temporary. Adulterous relationships help, temporary. And above all of that, it's sinful, right? We're disobeying God and we're putting ourselves into bad positions. Again, strongholds are developing and getting stronger instead of pulling them down. So be transformed by that. A couple things under this. Number one, strongholds are built on lies. We must know that. They're lies. Reprogram your mind with the truth. If I can say that again, reprogram your mind with the truth. Number three, we come back to what we've talked about before, but the reality versus an alternate reality. Most people live in alternate reality. We're over-entertained and overstimulated every day. And people think, well, I could do that. I'm this. They listen to their music and they put themselves into that. If you've seen some of this, have you heard of a hologram? Have you seen these things? These concerts, in fact, just recently, a lot of these big rock stars at their concerts, it's a hologram. It's an image of a person that they put up. It looks so real, people actually think. In fact, one artist was shot and killed. Well, in this guy's concert, he put up an image of this other artist, and it was so real, people thought he was on the platform, but it was just a hologram. And I think about, that's what people live in, don't they? By the way, you think about people 100 years ago said, how can the Antichrist do all these things? Just wait and see. He's going to use AI. He's going to use all kinds of this stuff to work in the people's hearts and minds and whatever the case is. But anyways, this reality, you're living in an alternate reality. The one thing in this life and world that brings you back to reality is this book. If you're in it daily, man, it'll tear you up, won't it? It'll mess you up. And I say that often, but it'll do it in a good way. Because it brings you back to reality. Tim, you are not that, okay? Stop trying to be that. You can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have those skills. Now, who could I be, Lord? Right here. Let me show you what you could be, okay? And it helps us, doesn't it? Brings us back to reality. Now, letter C, we need to recognize Satan's strategy. A couple of things. He can introduce thoughts to your mind. Now, remember, Satan is not omniscient and he's not omnipresent, meaning he can't be everywhere at once and he's not all-powerful and he's not all-knowing. But what he can do, he can introduce thoughts into your mind through, i.e., whatever, entertainment, music, whatever you do, whatever you watch, books, material, things of that nature. The strongholds that he can bring up and remind you of that happened in the past, he can introduce those things to you. He tries to make you believe that it is your thought. You originated that thought. By the way, any thought you have that's against the Bible, against Jesus, that's vile and wicked and nasty, it's not from you necessarily. Part of it could be if you have entertained some of that stuff. But you need to come back and say, that's not of me. That's not of the Holy Spirit. Hang on a second. And what do? We cast down imaginations. We're going to look at that next week. But we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's it saying? It's pushing against the truth of God, trying to get us to think. Well, that's your thought. Number three, he raises imaginations against the knowledge of God. That's why you got to know who God is and what he wants and what his word says, because he'll put things in there, beginning to doubt and fear. Letter D, take every thought captive and submit it to Christ. Every thought captive, and we submit it to him. Do not let your mind drift. It will naturally move away from truth. You and I do not naturally drift towards truth. Oh, you just sit there and stare outside, you know. You drift towards the truth. No, it drifts what? To carnality. It drifts away from truth. We need to come back to and constantly fill our minds with the Word of God. That's why I say often, you need to be memorizing Scripture. I know it's hard to do. I know it's difficult. But if you can just put some little verses into your mind from time to time, I'm telling you, it's going to help you. It'll keep your mind from drifting. Number two, evaluate each thought by truth and don't entertain lies. If it's a lie, I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. This quote here I found, listen, the essence of all temptation is the invitation to live independent of God and fulfill legitimate needs in the world, the flesh or the devil instead of in Christ. That's what it is. The essence of all temptation, live independent from God. And then letter E, let's notice this and we'll wrap it up. Notice Philippians 4. I like this, but we need to submit ourselves to God. the greatest tool we can use is submission to God. And I've always likened it to that, the bully on the playground. And he's picking on you or whatever the case is. And then you say, well, hang on a second. And you go get your bigger brother or your bigger friend or whoever, or your bigger sister. I had a bigger sister too, so, and an older sister, and say, just one second. And you go get them and say, can you take care of this problem here? And that's exactly, you submit yourself to God, you get real close to the Lord, he'll take care of it. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. Always again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He says, that balance, you know. Next one, be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice this verse, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice, heart and mind, okay, emotions and intellect, okay. My emotions need to get in check, and my thinking needs to get in the check. How do I do that? Submitting yourself to God, bringing everything to him. This is your strategy for defeating Satan. Do you have James 4:7 over there? This is a good verse. Because this is our strategy for defeating the adversary. Notice, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What is it? We submit ourselves. And we have to resist the devil. Now, it's, you know, your arms are too short to box with the devil, okay? He's no match. You're no match for him, I should say. He's too big. He's too powerful. What do we do? Submit to God. Resist him. He'll flee from you. You don't listen to what he says. You resist that. You don't follow what he says. You don't listen to his lies. You don't listen to what he has to say about who you are. You put that aside. No. You know what they said about you, don't you? Remember what they used to call you? Remember what they used to do to you? Yeah. No. I'm called a child of God. Nope. That's not what God calls me. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm not falling for that. A couple things here. This recognizes your weakness and God's strength. I can't do it, Lord. I want you to do it. This reminds you who you are in Christ. Again, you need to find out who you are in Christ. We'll touch on some of that hopefully next week in that. This keeps your heart and mind in peace, as he says, gives you the peace the world's looking for, and this will pull down the stronghold in your life. Now, easy to say, hard to do, but lastly here, we know that God's plan is best for our lives. We know this because it's clearly taught in the Bible. By the way, again, remember that God has your best interest in mind. He always has your best interests in mind at all times. Now, bad things do happen. Tragedies come. Heartaches happen. You know that. Cancer, sickness. You wonder why. He always has your best interests in mind overall. And your goal and my goal is to submit and say, Lord, use us, help us, and guide us. I want to be used of you. Believing this to the point of living it is very difficult until the strongholds are pulled down and Jesus Christ has full control of our lives. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you have a stronghold in your life. I have a list of them in my life that I'm trying to work through. And again, the worst thing we can do is try to do it on our own in our carnal flesh. He says, allow God to do it. Ask him, plead with him, God, would you help me through this and strengthen me? I want to be an effective tool for the Lord. I want him to use me. He can't use me if I'm caught up in myself and worried about this and living in an alternate reality, having all kinds of strongholds holding me back. Okay. Again, I appreciate it. I know I'm preaching to you, dear people, that are so faithful. You love the Lord and you're serving him faithfully. Thank you for listening and putting up with me. I appreciate it. And I hope that this will be a help to you and an encouragement to you, if you will. Take this prayer page home with you and continue to pray over those. All right. Lord, thank you for this evening once again, for your grace and these dear folks. I say each week have worked a very long day. They're tired. They're weary. And I thank you for them making it a point, an effort to come out to church. I pray something said, helped, and encouraged and stirred our hearts. We want to do more for you, Lord. We know not the hour when you'll return or when you'll take us home. And we look forward to that day. Help us while we're here, Lord, to continue faithfully serving and moving along for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right.